London is on 101.4 on FM.
Hello, it's Declan Harvey. Thanks for downloading the On FM Drive Time podcast. Join us live weekdays from 4 on 101.4 on FM. That's Outkast on your Drive Time. Hey, yeah, On FM Radio 101.4 at 25 minutes to 6. And delighted to say I'm sitting opposite a man who has so many strings to his bow, I don't even know where to start. From running caves to circuses to costume shops and now to a show which was 2 years in the making, has a cast of 30 of Africa's most outstanding singers, dancers and musicians. And it's a blisteringly high energy, electrically charged, feel good event. Its name is Zambezi Express. His name is Jerry Cottle. Thank you so much for coming into On FM.
Thanks for inviting us.
Well, you're an interesting chap, Jerry Cottle. Is there anything you haven't done?
Not a lot. I've just done what I wanted to all my life. You know, I saw my first circus, funny enough, not far from here at Olympia, a long time ago, and I wanted to join the circus from when I was 8. So when I was 15, I ran away and joined the circus.
I love it.
The original boy.
You are the first person I've ever met who literally ran away and joined a circus.
But the funny thing is, I've got a daughter that actually ran away from the circus.
The bitter irony.
Yes.
Well, listen, why don't we get on to you and your... You've written a book, haven't you?
You know, I wrote a book about 3 years
Good,
ago.
I'm glad, yeah. Because it deserves to be a book, your life story. But we'll talk about that in a little second. First of all, let's get down to business at hand. Zambezi Express, this is an extravaganza which is happening at Riverside Studios. Tell us a little bit about it.
We've settled down, you know, running Wookiee Hole Caves in Somerset. I've given up a lot of the circus work, and I suppose I got slightly bored after living near London all my life and down.
Well, there's only so many stalagmites and stalactites one can take without.
Yeah, you know which is which? Yes. Stalactites come down.
Stalactites come down.
If that helps you.
Oh, of course they do.
But no, I just. I don't know, I go to a lot of festivals. I think festivals are a great thing. And I go and listen to the different bands and that. And I just see this troupe of African performers. And they did all the traditional Zulu dancing. But they were always happy. That's what I thought was marvellous about them. And then I just had this idea of putting on a show with them. And it took us a year or two to get it together, to get them to give up their kind of festival tour, come with us. They've been rehearsing with us for 3 months at Wookiee Hole. And my son-in-law taught them to do some acrobats and some trick skipping and jumping in and out of barrels. And what we've done is we've took all their traditional dancing, cut it right down and made it pretty speedy. That's where the express comes in. And then we've written a story around it. It's the Zambezi Express, where this young boy here, you know, what can you do in Africa? Unless you go and work down the mines, there's not many opportunities, but unless you're a great sportsman. He wants to be a footballer, so he gets on the Zambezi Express, the weekly train to South Africa. He auditions, or what do they call it, goes for a trial for the football team. And it becomes a football star. And we've just woven that very simple story into the African dancing. And we haven't set it in an African village. It's not Lion King or Disney or anything like that. It's got a real pace to it. And we've set it in a township, you know, which is very modern. They do the Pansula Jive, which is absolutely fabulous. And that's what they do all over Africa now. They open the door of the car, put the radio on, and they just dance. And you know, even when we were rehearsing the circus tricks, they had to have music to rehearse. And they just stood at the back, singing, dancing, and they not only all dance, they all sing, you know, and they've got they all play the drums. We've had a little bit of the flu a few weeks ago in Bournemouth where we opened the show, and oh dear me, this one's out, that one's out. They just replace them just like that, they, you know, and they're all from Zimbabwe, they're all from a township in Bulawayo, on the outskirts of Bulawayo, and you know, they really can sing, dance, and perform.
So you've taken their natural kind of
absolutely
craft and added a bit of your circus knowledge to it.
Absolutely, and just really, I suppose, trimmed it up. We've had a couple of directors, a guy called Wayne Folks, who put Notre Dame together, and another one, Darren Charles. Both of them have come and helped us. So we haven't.
Not the cathedral. The
well, not the cathedral, no. But the show about Notre Dame.
Just to be clear.
It works in every country except England, Notre Dame. Yeah. I still think we've got a thing about French French shows.
So, I mean, this story, I mean, is it a dance show or is it a musical?
It is a musical. And it's very difficult to sell. You know, all my life I've had circuses, and when I sold out the circuses, I had the Chinese State Circus, which was mine, the Moscow State Circus was mine. You know, when you've done circus all your life, you kind of get in the habit of doing certain things. And, you know, the word circus gets you so many bums on seats, to put it politely. Mm. You know, how do you get people in to see a musical that hasn't got a star in? Music's not written by Andrew Lloyd Webber. So you have to just plod away. And we've been to Bournemouth for 7 weeks. And we literally started off with very slow houses, literally 60 people, 90 people. We finished up with full houses of over 700 people, night after night. And it really took off, but it took off by word of mouth. And that's why we're here for 3.5 weeks at the Riverside, you know, Hammersmith, which is 400 seats.
Yeah.
Then we go off to Bristol for 3 weeks. Then we're coming back to Hackney Empire. And I believe it will build up. And you can only spend so much money on advertising. So you've got to get into what I call people's veins.
So these guys, and forgive me, and I don't want to kind of get into this conversation. I don't mean to be patronising or anything else. But these guys, you're the stars of the show. Were these guys kind of over just kind of chancing their arm as performers in festivals, or are these guys fully kind of professional?
They are professionals in a very different way. I mean, 15 of them have been coming to England for the last 5 to 10 years, and they have a kind of, what do I say, a theatre school, a dance, a music. They're very keen on the performing arts and the future. They're very natural, I think, from Zimbabwe. And, you know, they brought 15 that had never been to England before. They'd never even seen the sea. When we went to Bournemouth at the Pier Theatre, you know, the sea below them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they thought they were on an ocean liner.
And, well, it makes most people a bit nervous at the best of times.
Yeah,
so.
And there's an amazing number of people from Zimbabwe here. There's an amazing number of people from Southern Africa over here, especially, funny enough, in West London.
Mm.
So I think we will take off, and the bookings are already started quite well before we've got any reviews in the paper. But it's the energy of the show, the absolute energy, the singing, the dancing, the pace. You know, it's good fun, and I can watch it time and time again, which to me is always a good indicator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, completely right. Well, listen, now we'll go for music, we'll come back and talk more about you and how you've ended up kind of producing and conceiving this show, and what brought you to there. The text line's open, 0778 6206 700. Here's the Jackson 5 on FM Drive Time 101.4. That's the Jackson 5. Of course, the man was laid to rest last night in Forest Lawn Cemetery in California. Anyway, I'm still joined, and delighted to be so, by Jerry Cottle from, well, he's... I'm struggling for a word to describe your profession.
Showman, I suppose.
Showman.
Circus showman.
Oh, I want to be a showman. Listen, you spent most of your career, anyway, after you owned a costume shop in just up the road there in Chiswick, and
good career. I've done a bit of everything, but I've never really gone away from show business. I mean,
most of your career was spent in the circus industry, and it's a controversial industry.
I think it's found its niche now. I mean, you know, from when I first started a circus, there was one or two towns that didn't have performing animals. By the kind of early 90s, hardly anybody allowed animals. There's still one guy still travelling with some lions. They're not banned by the government, but, you know, if you can't get a sight off the city in a reasonable place, and they put every obstacle in your way. And I think the public, the media, the intelligentsia have all gone against animals. I don't think we were cruel. You can argue, you know, the way you travelled them was cruel. But, I mean, you know, who wants to go to work on a tube every day? What could be crueler than that?
Mm.
You know, so it's been an issue that we sold our elephants in 93. We weren't even allowed to keep performing horses. When I say performing horses, you know, my daughters all stood on the backs of horses and skipped and all that. We weren't allowed to keep horses or dogs in the show, but it did affect our business for a long time.
I mean, did it break your heart to let them go, or was it something that you kind of embraced and kind of, oh, this is something that needs to happen now?
I think I had the sense, without being big-headed, I had the sense to see that it was coming, so I'd got used to it, and I'd fought it for 10 years probably. You know, I used to go and debate the issue with councils and different things, and debate it with the media like yourself. And then I realised that the day was coming, and I found a good home. The elephants all went to Spain, and they're all still there, and they're all doing well. The horses, we were sad, and we still got some of the horses in Somerset. We got two of the big old black and white horses that my daughters used to ride. I'm sorry to see the horses come out of it, and it's very difficult to put a circus on without that kind of movement. And the public wanted the animals, you know, for quite a long time afterwards. And I think in certain parts of the country, they still want the animals, you know, when you come to farming country.
But what about the argument now that there's no real need to have them travelling around in a circus when we have things like the TV, which
is... Television's made all the difference. And I mean, when I took my circus to the Far East, I mean, television, I'm talking about 25 years ago in the early 80s, television was still pretty, not primitive, but you didn't see a lot. But I mean, now you can see everything with a choice of 40, 50, 200 channels. You can see everything. There is still something about seeing animals being, you know, relating to human beings. And I think that's missed out a little bit. But it's
is that trade-off worth it, though?
I'm not going to argue the point, but I wouldn't have animals back in a circus because of the travelling, because of everything else that goes with it, and I certainly wouldn't want to put up. I mean, we used to have door locks. You know, any shops that put a poster up for the circus, you'd have super glue put in the door lock. You know, there was, we had an advertising van set light to. It was rent-a-mob, but, you know, and it was an issue forced, but I wouldn't go back to that, and I haven't been back to it. 93, what are we talking about, 18 years or something? I mean, we then brought, after suffering for a couple of years, because people didn't want a circus with no animals, we then brought the Moscow State Circus over, which had, you know, tremendous acts of top quality. And then we bought the Chinese circus. We found another niche for our business, and now we've got an African. It was going to be an African circus, funny enough, and it's ended up as a musical, musical.
Part of the circus industry, part of the mystique is that idea that you're all... Is carnies the right way? You're all moving around town to town and no one knows where they are. These mystical circus people. And
you can't do that in England.
And they turn off and suddenly there's a tent in your back garden and then the next day they're gone.
But that's all part of it, you know, and it's a shame. The bureaucracy of this country, one of the reasons... I gave up the circus, apart from running the Circus of Horrors in theatres, which is a rock and roll circus, a very radical show, I hasten to add. I gave it up because I just got fed up with the bureaucracy of this country. This government has absolutely crippled a lot of...
This government in particular, or...?
I think this government particularly, because there's more licenses, more health and safety. Touch wood, I never had an accident in my whole career that's affected the public. And we really have had problems. You know, they brought a licensing. Circus has been around. It was invented in London with demonstrations of horse riding. It's been around 240 years. Never been licensed. Suddenly they bring a license in.
What's life like in a circus?
Great. That's what I miss more than anything down in Somerset. I've actually got a nice business. Wookie Hole Caves is an old attraction. We've got the caves and we do circus shows there now. We've got 40 local kids that we've taught circus skills.
But it's not a life full of kind of fields and muck and caravans and pitch it up and pitch it down and
it's quite hard work, but if you get a good team with you, and I was always lucky, I was pretty good people, it's a good life. And yes, you do put up with the weather, and you can come here, you know, you go to a lot of effort. Last time we came to Shepherd's Bush Green, you know, it just rained and rained and rained, and the place was a quagmire, you know. And then of course you get fed up, but overall, you know, and then you could be at Torquay in the summer, down in Devon and Cornwall on a different site every week, and it's great fun, you know. And I just think
you have to be born for it, though. Is it a personality type that needs to do it?
You either like it or you don't like it. An awful lot of people from outside the business now come into it much more than ever. When I joined, I was quite unusual. Here was a guy brought up in a suburban house in London, South London, went to school at Wimbledon, and it was very unusual for my type of person to join the circus.
And you ran away, didn't you?
I literally, yes.
Tell me about that.
I didn't go to school the last 2 years, so from the age of 13. But, you know, it's a strange thing. All my mates who've done exceptionally well in life didn't go to school very much. So you do wonder what it is. It's just that determination. And my parents wouldn't let, you know, my parents said, go and get a normal job. And I said to my mother once, what would you like me to be, Mum? She said, well, you always wanted to travel. You could have been a civil engineer and gone and put water pipes in Africa. I'd have probably ended up building the M25.
Well, I mean, describe to me that day you left. Was it literally under kind of cloak and dagger? Or was it?
Yes, it was. I pretended to, it was in the winter, and I pretended as though I was going to school. I used to go to a very posh school, actually. We went to school on a Saturday morning. And, you know, I pretended I was going off to school, and I'd kind of made arrangements. I'd left a letter with my sister to give my mother. I didn't tell her why I'd given it to my sister. She didn't ask. And I'd done all kinds of things. And I got on a train and went to Newcastle up the north. And I stayed away a couple of weeks. I did phone my parents after 2 or 3 days. And I just, and then they said, oh, you, well, finish off your schooling, which I didn't want to do. So they let me leave at the end of that term.
So did you knew presumably there was a circus up in Newcastle at that point?
I'd been lucky. I lived near Chessington Zoo. Which in those days used to have a family circus there all the time, and I'd got to know a lot of circus people, so I always pretty well organised myself up to a point. Yeah, but
and what did the letter say?
I'm joining the circus. I'm not coming back to school or home. And I did Latin and everything at school. I mean, I've never used it in my life ever since. I did 4 years at Latin, but I don't know. I could have done with doing languages because all the different nationalities I dealt with, and I'm no good at languages either.
Well, you certainly show. I've literally only met you, but I can tell you, you show no signs of letting up just yet.
No,
at
no,
the
no.
moment, you're in the industry of the stalactites and stalagmites, but I'm sure. You know.
I nearly bought my circuses back literally 2 days ago, but the deal didn't go.
You nearly bought them back?
Yes.
Really?
Because
you kind of sold up and got out of
it. I sold up and got out of it, and I'm enjoying Run Wookiee Hole, and I shall live there myself. I've got my daughter living next to me. My other daughter lives in the next village. It's our home now, Wookiee Hole in Somerset, and it's a great attraction, but I do miss the entertainment. So I miss the team spirit.
Yeah.
Performers can be difficult. But, you know, basically, they're usually pretty good people to work with.
Well, do you want to give this show one more plug?
Well, Sambees Express, it's a very exciting show. I believe we do well with it. We don't always do well, but I think this show's right. They're nice boys and girls, all from Zimbabwe. They've had a very tough time. Last winter was the toughest time ever. They literally had no food on the supermarket shelves. But they've come here, they've practiced very hard, and I think if people get the chance, it would be nice for them to see it. But it's a great show. It's a very memorable show.
Local boy done good, a true showman, Jerry Cottle. Thank you so much for coming in. You're what a fascinating bloke you are, and I'm sure you get told that all the time.
Good luck to you.
London is on 101.4 on FM.